and this is NPR News. I'm Mike Mulcahy. Finally this hour, the weather is warming up. It's time for runners to start thinking about getting back outside and maybe sign up for a 5K or 10-mile race, or maybe a 50-mile run or 100 miles. How does that sound? Tom Weber spoke this week with Minnesota native Courtney Dewalter, who's been tearing up the ultra-running circuit with impressive finishes in several 50- and 100-mile runs, and even longer.
Ever since I jumped into this ultra-marathon world, I've finished a distance and finished a race and just wondered what's next, like what else is possible. And so really quickly I went 50K and then I signed up and did a 50-mile race and then decided my next step should be a 100-mile race.
Of course, that's perfectly natural.
Yeah. But I was not ready for that 100-mile race and ended up dropping out around like 55 or 60 miles. So I think for me, that was an important piece in like learning that there is a switch to flip because physically it's going to hurt to run that far. And there's a whole piece of your brain that you can tap into where you can push past the physical pain. So there is kind of a switch to flip, but there's also just like you got to be patient and willing to put in the time for months and years and learn and figure out your body and how to move for that long of a time.
Well, talk about that. What are some of the tricks about, not even tricks, but what are the things you learn about how to stay upright, stay moving forward? You know, you're not trying to do 4-minute miles here, but if you're going to be out there for 50 miles or 100 miles, what are the things you have to do differently than if you were running a marathon or if you were skiing or if you were playing soccer?
I mean, especially if it's on the trails. Initially, I was falling every time I went trail running because you've got to pay a little more attention than when you're road running and pick up your feet a little bit more, which I learned the hard way through many Band-Aids. But then it's also just learning that you can surprise yourself and you go through these waves where you feel like there's no way you could go another step, let alone another mile or another hour. But if you just keep moving, it rolls over where you feel good again. You know, sometimes in road marathons, you have that same thing where you might hit what people call the wall. And then you push past it and you're all good for those last couple miles after conquering the wall. It's the same thing in ultras, except you might experience like 10 or 12 walls.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, Courtney, that sounds horrible.
No. I'm not selling it very well.
Well, I mean, and very, very simply, the ultra running, the definition of an ultra marathon is any race that's longer than a marathon. So anything more than 26.2, and that's what you do. But how do you sell it, right? I mean, this has to be a very unique group of people who would want to sign up for this.
It's a pretty unique group, but it's also one of the most welcoming groups that I've ever encountered in sports, or just really life. I mean, everyone's got their own path that made them want to try this and brought them to this 50-mile or 100-mile race, you know, their own journey, their own baggage, their own stuff that they're going to deal with out there on the trails. But it is a community that is going to be, I mean, I was in a race, my first 50-mile race, actually, and I was tripping everywhere, which was the story of, like, my first 3 years of trail running. So I ended up face-planting into this mud puddle, and a person who was, like, 20 yards ahead of me heard me squeak as I was falling, and they come running back, you know, and they're offering me a hand and picking me up and encouraging me to get on my way with it, which was so cool. And I think such a great example of just how this community is as a whole, always ready to help. And it doesn't matter if it makes them slow down or have to backtrack a little bit. They won't bat an eye at being helpful out there on the trails.
When you're looking at a race, you know, here in the Twin Cities, the marathon on marathon day, you'll notice a lot of people clapping. It's all along these big roads that people know. Paint a picture for me of how the race actually happens for you as the runner.
Yeah. So you all start at the same time, start at go, and then out on course there's aid stations. So more like the Twin Cities Marathon vibe, where there's tables set up at different mileages that have hydration, lots of options for hydration. And then it's like a whole buffet of food options out there. So instead of just maybe some packets of goo or Jolly Ranchers, at these aid stations, they've got everything from like pizza and quesadillas and mashed potatoes to M&M's, Skittles, gummy worms, like potato chips, pickles, you know?
Yeah. So, eat whatever you want because you're going to burn the calories, yeah. Right?
Yeah, well, and you never know at mile 80 what you'll be craving or what your body will need. So they have those, depending on the race, usually every, I mean, anywhere from every 5 to 20 miles, there will be an aid station like that.
So I read a book or I read an article once about an ultramarathoner whose name is escaping me, but he told the story of running just 100 miles one night, just as a regular old run, and he called a pizza place. He's just out by himself, and he had the...
I think that's Dean Karnazes.
Yes, it is. It is. Yeah. It's Dean Karnazes. So you know this story. He estimated where he would be in a half an hour when the pizza was ready, and he told the delivery guy to meet him at this corner. And the guy got him a pizza, and then the pizza delivery guy was totally freaked out and like, this is amazing. But then Dean tells the story of wrapping the pizza in a weird way so that he ran with an entire pizza and just ate it while he ran.
Housed it.
Housed it? Is that a real term? But I mean, just, I just, as someone who's run a marathon, there's still something I'm unable to comprehend on how you keep going for so long.
Yeah, and like eat real food.
Yeah.
Sounds crazy. That's part of the kind of the buildup and one of the pieces you have to learn as you're training and like lengthening the amount of time you're out there on the trails for a day is what can your stomach handle and then how do you go about getting that nutrition, getting those calories in so that you can keep going? Because it's imperative. I mean, you can't make it through these without eating anything.
Right,
so.
Exactly. So for someone who's trained for a marathon, generally you do these shorter runs during the week, 3 or 4 miles. And on the weekends, each weekend you keep running more. You do 10, 12, 14. And someone who's going to run a marathon usually runs 20 or 22 miles. They never run the full thing before the event. They do 20 or 22 miles, you know, a couple weeks before the marathon. How does training for a 100-mile race compare? Are you going to run 85 miles 2 weeks before the 100? Is it the same concept, or is it actually completely different when you train?
It's kind of the same concept. I never do a training run of 80 or 90 miles before a 100-mile race, but I would include, I'd probably sign up for 50-mile races, or a pretty common race distance is 100 kilometers, so 62 miles. So I'd find some of those to help me like build up the mileage and just train and practice with my gear and with eating and being out there for a really long time. But otherwise, it's kind of the same. You know, you do your big, long weekend runs, and then you try and be consistent during the week. But there's no... The people in the ultra world, if you talk to them, you talk to 5 people, you're going to get 5 totally different methods to the madness for for how they go about training for these. So it's pretty person-dependent and also what they're looking to get out of it. Like, are you looking to survive it, or are you going to try and be winning it, or what's your goal with it?
What's your goal?
I like winning.
Yeah, because you have won. You have won some of these races. You won the Moab 240 out in the desert, which is apparently only 238 miles. But you ran basically 58 miles. You were running for 58 straight hours, And I'm reading here that during that 58 hours, you only stopped to rest or sleep for 21 minutes. Like
I slept for 21 minutes.
Slept for 21 minutes. Like, how do you stay upright for 58 hours running? Or maybe you were walking sometimes, but running. Like, that blows my mind to think that the body can actually do that, or that the body should do that.
Our bodies and our brains combined are so incredible. So I think if we give ourselves more credit, you know, and don't set those limits for ourselves, like 238 miles, it's not impossible. We can cover that distance, and we are totally capable of it if we just go and then keep moving once we're out there. So that's been part of the cool part for me is just trying to not set any limits and try and push myself to go farther. Like, how far can I actually cover in a day or 2 days? Or, you know, it's been a pretty cool adventure just exploring that.
That said, I am curious, what are some of the worst moments you've had physically with something giving out, or just what are the worst, maybe just this fatigue that you thought would never go away? What are the worst moments you've had when it's gotten to be the worst of the walls?
Oh, man. I mean, it can get pretty dark out there. You start to question every life choice you ever made that brought you to that moment,
wow.
You know?
Wow.
But that's just part of it. And if you do some problem solving and switch your mindset and take in some calories, you can usually get right over that wall, and then you'll be cruising and feeling like you're running on clouds again. So,
but you've vomited,
it's
of course.
It's just your brain tricking you.
You've hallucinated.
Oh, yeah.
You've even lost your vision for a few miles.
How
do you know that's not, how do you know that's something that the body is challenging you to get past and not the body actually communicating to you that you should stop, right? Those are two completely different things.
Yeah. I'm trying to just trust my gut, trust my intuition, and if it feels like a temporary thing and that it is just like all you need to do is keep moving to push past this, then I'm going to do that. And I have not found that point yet where it felt unsafe, where I needed to stop, otherwise there'd be permanent damage.
Right.
So knock on wood, I'm going to just keep hoping that my gut is telling me the correct answer for that.
Is this your living? I mean, the I don't know if you know this, but the man who just became mayor of Minneapolis actually spent a few years as a professional runner. He had sponsorships and did all these races.
Really?
Is that how you're, I mean, is this actually your job, or is this still your hobby?
Yeah, currently I am making it my job, giving it a go to see if I dedicate all my time and energy to this sport, like what can I accomplish? So right now this is my job, which is, I feel pretty lucky to be able to say that.
How much do you run each week?
I would guess I average about 100 miles per week. It might get up near 130 miles on the big weeks. And then in recovery weeks, I mean, down near 40 or 50 probably.
Yeah, just 40 or 50. No big deal. Now, that's through the whole week. Have you run today?
I did run this morning.
How much did you run?
This morning I think I got 10 in.
Okay.
And then this afternoon I'll go out again and get some more.
So you'll do another 10, you think?
Probably around another 10 today.
Yeah. A lot of people just do, if they do 10 miles once a day, Courtney, they feel like that was a good day for them. But you're going to do it twice.
Yeah, well, it is a great day. But I've got a lot more time than a lot of people for this, and want to try and take advantage of it. You know, the time is now to capitalize on this, the physical piece of it, and I'm just loving it. So trying to see what's possible.
So as we wrap up here, for anyone listening who thinks or has yelled at the radio, like, this woman needs her head examined, like, what are you doing? Just why? Why do you want to do this so much?
I think just in general, as humans, we have not found our limits. We do not know at all what we're capable of in any realm. And this is like the way I can contribute to that search for what are humans capable of accomplishing. And I think everyone should be doing that with, you know, whatever they're passionate about. For me, it is running for absurdly long distances, but it could be, you know, math or space or art, you know, whatever you're passionate about, just push the limits and see what's possible if you don't think that there's like a boundary to what you're capable of doing.
That's ultramarathoner Courtney Dewalter, who grew up in Hopkins. She now lives in Golden, Colorado. She was speaking with NPR's Tom Weber.